and welcome to episode 44 of Spellcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and this is my co-host, Andriel.
Greetings, friends. We're coming to the end of the Lenten period, and we celebrate all spirituality on this podcast. And whether you necessarily believe one thing more in particular than another, there is something to be learned from everything. We are a purely occult podcast, and to exclude any particular background would
be a disservice.
Very much so. So, we still work with the Trinity and other spirits of Judeo-Christian Catholicism. So, we're going to be talking about Holy Thursday, which is the day we're recording this. Actually just turned into Good Friday.
We're doing
midnight right now. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Easter Sunday. And we'll talk about, essentially, how we celebrate it and how a pagan can still invite in these things or celebrate in your own particular way that you don't have to necessarily follow strict doctrine enforced in a particular way. Also, magic that kind of associates with this time.
Yes. So, bridging the gaps, right? And that's what our podcast is all about. We're also joined today by Ignatius. He's back to talk to us.
Good evening, everyone. I hope your flames are burning bright, even though that myself, I'm a little bit doused. I mean, it is after midnight, after all.
Yeah, it's a little late. And we were just in a very silly mood before recording this, so we may have exhausted a lot of our energy and laughter in what we were talking about. So we'll see how serious this is. Yesterday at this point was Holy Thursday, and we had a wonderful dinner. We did a small little prayer and thank you before said dinner and blessed everything. Andriel had his lovely Jesus statue out with, it's actually really cool to see because then you mix Christianity with your pentacle and the candles and the rosary and all these things. So it's really cool to see like different aspects of religion come together.
So funny, you know, if we're talking about like knowledge of the pentacle, early Christians actually used it to represent the five wounds of Christ.
Yeah.
So if you ever get any Christian who thinks, oh, that is, you know, it's a symbol of evil, that's actually a good way to relate it to them is to, show them the history in Christianity that piece of sacred geometry has. Mm-hmm. The same with the Star of David. I mean, it's really not that much of a difference.
Yeah, so it's good to see that all come together. And I mean, when I learned about that, it's fascinating to me because things really are tied together and people kind of, as time goes on, separate and just try to force people apart in a way. But the great thing about what we're trying to do is we're bringing people back together. We want to, you know, teach you guys about all the stuff that we know and all the ways of bridging gaps and being open-minded. And again, we're going to talk about kind of like how to celebrate Christian holidays as a pagan, which is pretty cool.
Yes, from certain perspectives. So we'll give as much of a traditionalist perspective as possible, and then we'll show where we create our variations.
Yes.
And some people, oh, variation. Like, it's like, I love how people who celebrate different backgrounds, which are variations, tell other people that their variations are wrong. It's just that religion
and
spirituality.
It's a very personal thing, and I think it's not something somebody
can
personal,
comment on. There's personal perspective, there's group perspective, there's subcultural perspective, mm-hmm. full cultural perspective, and then there's world, like, global perspective. Well, mm-hmm. country perspective, I guess you could say, goes in between that, but there's other subdivisions of it. Mm-hmm. But that being said, we will talk about all the things that are held on this day. Now, Holy Thursday, starting with Holy Thursday. Holy Thursday is also known as Maundy Thursday, which is derived from the Latin term mandatum, or to mandate. This word was used in a Latin text for John chapter 13, verse 34. No, paragraph 13, verse 34, I believe. I could be messing that up. I'm sorry. Wait, no. Yeah, and it's chapter 13, verse 34.
Yeah, it's a Bible verse. My bad. Though, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't see the other colon. Mandatum novum do vobis ut diligatis in vicem sicut dilexivos. In the English translation, that means, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, which was the main thing that Jesus of Nazareth wanted to get across with everything he did mm-hmm. that particular night. And he did a lot. That was a very eventful day.
You know, I think that Holy Thursday would be a great reason then to bring people together and to, especially on this day, bring different faiths together. Because Jesus did talk about love, and at least in my personal opinion, I think he meant to bring everybody together.
Well, certainly. I mean, there were levels to it, because there are so many stories about Jesus of Nazareth. The one that stood out to me was, you know, there were still things in him that were changing over the course of his journey and the course of his life. Like the story of when Jesus was taking care of a particular bit of his business, and he was approached by a Gentile woman. Now, Jesus of Nazareth, before that, you know, the context up until that point was that Jewish people didn't really have any opinions about Gentiles. They kind of just coexisted with them, and that was pretty much it. Some would even argue that they go as far to say that they didn't even give a crap about mm-hmm. the Gentiles, which could be true depending on the person. But Jesus of Nazareth actually shared a particular conversation with her, and it kind of opened a different perspective. And I want to say that definitely, certainly might have been a motivator.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been kept in the book.
Yeah, and that's a unique thing to his human experience, because being part God and part human, his human side had to do growing and developing. So that's also interesting.
So Maundy Thursday, it got its name because it was the day that Jesus of Nazareth gave his disciples, and thus proceeding Jews and, you know, later Christians, the new commandment, the new mandate to love one another as he had loved us. Now, he demonstrated that in a wide variety of things, but the most important symbolism to discuss in that point was the foot washing ceremony.
Yes.
Now, a lot of Americans are very put off by that body part for a wide variety of reasons.
Mm.
I study reflexology, so I am not one of those Americans.
Yeah, you're not scared.
Yes, certainly not. And, you know, if you're doing advanced healing sort of magic, you get really hands-on mm-hmm. with working on the human body.
Though I can see why, though, because I feel like I don't like random people touching my feet, because it is kind of personal, and it's what connects you to the earth.
Yes.
So I feel like you do get that little sense of, like, cautiousness over who's touching your feet, because you're like, all right, who's putting what energy, like, into my body? You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, go ahead.
Not only that, but we're also talking about feet, something that is a foundation to ourselves to actually mm-hmm. get up and move, something that is moving us forward, something that is stabilizing us to do practically everything.
Yeah.
I mean, without that, we really are rendered immobile.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and there's something to be said. If someone with bad energy grabs that body part, they could quite literally uproot you, much like someone would uproot a tree, chop it off at its lower end. But my thing is that there's a consistency that I've noticed that the places that have the most problem with that body part, I've also noticed that spiritually they either live in some sort of extreme, either incredibly, extremely fundamental in the sense of, you know, extremism, which leads to hating everything else that is not that, or complete denial of any spirituality altogether. It's an interesting thing to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I brought up reflexology before. If you only knew the amount of intricacies that exist within the maps of it, how they connect to the chakras or they connect to the chi meridians, there's so much symbolism that surrounds this particular body part. But the main thing that you read in the Bible is, you know, and the poetry, especially that existed in the earlier translations, when you read the Latin or when you read the Greek translation, but even the King James Version, even though I wasn't fond of, you know, King James for other reasons, you know, his condemning of witches, obviously, and that needs to be stated. But for the most part, the English was quite poetic. I like it better than new translations for that reason. There's something to be said about the absence of sustenance and depth that I believe come along with spirituality that might have disenchanted further people in this time, which is why many people are walking away, which is a shame. Let me say this right now, friends, is that we are not an occult podcast that's happy that people are being steered away from certain things. It's sad. Yeah. It implies a disconnect.
Yeah, because we want you to embrace your spirituality. Yes. We want you to find some kind of enlightenment, happiness, and whatever that means for you. So the fact that people reject that is sad. It means that they're missing something in their life. And honestly, we do just wish the best for people. And that's why we like discussing all different religions on the podcast, because it might resonate with certain people more. And if it does, please let us know. If you'd like to share something, you have personal experience with a religion that maybe we don't have, like, very personal experience with. Like, I mean, we research things, but, like, we're not actively practicing Buddhism strictly or anything like that. So if there's something like that that you have information on, we'd love to have you on the podcast. We'd love for you to just write us an email and talk to you about it if you don't want to have any publicity about it. So yeah, just offering that up there as well.
As we've said before, and if you study every different type of spirituality, religion, and culture, the feet are adorned in very different ways, celebrated in very different ways. And for those of you who have a Freudian sort of connection to that body part, there actually isn't the absence of spirituality in that. Though if anyone goes into any sort of community that explores a sexual fetish, one can certainly find the dubious not and so messed
savory.
Up.
Not so savory.
Yeah, it's not so savory is right.
I can't help but when we're talking about the feet and its aspect is mainly the... something that my mind alludes to is the Chinese culture and their obsession, especially in the earlier times, of small feet.
Yes.
And how they would cripple women's feet to stay a certain size, and the smaller, the more, beautiful in their eyes.
Yes, it was called the lotus, was the perfect tiny foot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, foot binding is nasty.
Oh,
you ever see pictures of that? You could like smell it through the picture. That's how nasty it is.
I wonder. I honestly really do genuinely wonder what kind of chakra, or not even chakras, just like energies that are completely cut off and siphoned away from people who have that done to them.
Yes, that would be really interesting to like interview people in that way, because they do interview them about their experience. But I feel like they don't really touch on the spirituality of it. So I wonder how it would affect somebody.
There are also some people defer in certain interpretations on that particular body part spiritually. Some people look at the foot washing ceremony as this, as the denial of ego and personality and materialism and the physical world, because and that usually is represented in Palm Sunday as well, as like the triumph of the spirit over the flesh. Now, we don't necessarily look at it that way, because I believe that kind of cuts you in half, so to speak, in regards to your existence. Your body is your, you know, it is the home that you are driving on this plane.
Yeah, you shouldn't connecting separate yourself from your
yes.
body. You should be together in yes. happy harmony.
This actually reminds me, Andrea, of the other day that we ended up talking about when they, we were talking mainly on the aspect of them changing a certain phrase that people would say in response to the priest. As they say, peace be with you, and then they say, and also with you, how it got changed to...
Peace be with you and with your spirit.
And it's like, well, I'm not personally, I don't really partake too kindly to that. What was the reason exactly? I can't remember. It was something to do with the, when you're saying in response to and with your spirit, saying to the priest, oh, well, you're on a higher plane while we are still stuck in Mundania, per se.
Really?
Mundania.
Mundania. Is that like a new, like,
yeah, no,
video game land? Mundania.
That's, I'm going to start saying like, that now. You've coined
yeah,
a new term.
It sounds like Hero Academia, like the anime.
But, yeah, if you remember correctly how we... I forgot how we ended up bridging it in such a way. Where the priest was on the higher realm, yes, if you want to like make a parallel, where they are on a higher spiritual level than the average person, as an officer is to the regular person, they're held to higher standards.
Because they're practicing and they're studying. But the thing is, I think sometimes there's that in Catholicism, there's almost that, well, they're in a higher plane because they're different and special, but not in a positive way, as in like, you can't reach that. Yeah,
exactly. Way. Exactly what we ended up talking about is, well, they're making like it in such a way where the average person is not able to obtain such levels without said sacrifice, which I completely disagree with.
Same. Yeah, I believe that anyone can reach a high level of spirituality just by studying and trying.
And with something like this, we were also talking of the terms where the body, they're saying that, okay, the spirit is like the ultimate goal and this and that. However, this plane that we live on, we need to be taking care of said body because in a way, like they, what was it that she said? Something where Catholicism or Christianity views the body as the vessel and something to be discarded, per se.
It's lesser, you know, hence the symbolism in Ash Wednesday, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You came from this and you'll return from this. Now, while the body does particularly perish, the spirit, you know, is reflected in the body. So, it, you know, rejection, I would argue, would subconsciously create something over your physical body that you would let it go in a particular way. And I, you know, at that, so for that reason, I don't necessarily believe that in a particular way. That was one of the bigger problems I had had. And, you know, as a person, and that's another thing. And I also think it's really bizarre because on one hand, Jesus of Nazareth washed the feet of his disciples. He was not disgusted by that body part. I'd argue that while it may have had some of those other things, that doesn't necessarily mean the absence of these other things. Like, you can believe one thing and not necessarily contradict another in the sense that, like, so I'll give an example. The big thing that I was, the point that I was going to make before with the King James translation, the phrase was, and I've talked about this with the lovely Reverend Kyle Watkins of Axis Church. If you're ever on Long Island and you want a different Christian sort of experience, this man gives a great sermon, him and his lovely wife, in the Axis Church in, I want to say it's Patchogue area. Yeah. He is a martial arts...
out of towners say Patchogue.
Patchogue,
It's Patchogue.
Give a little shout out to him. Yes, if you want a different sort of Christian experience, he's a martial arts master and a very, very trustworthy man. We talked about this, and I'll always remember that in a particular way. We talked about the verses where Jesus stooped. He did not kneel. He did not go down. He stooped down to wash the feet of his disciples for many reasons. He wanted to see who would deny him. And the fact that Peter pushed him away and said, I can't let you do that for me. Because, you know, there was the guilt, there was the ego, and they believe that, you know, that Jesus was their God, you know, is their God, and whatever it is anybody believes. And that also foreshadowed the denial that Peter had three times, hence the denial. You deny me on earth, you know, I will deny you in heaven sort of thing. Though Peter repented later, though not without much sorrow. It was one of the saddest stories I think I've read in the Bible. You know, who would resist, why, and the humbling process of it all. But the idea was that if he is God, or even if he is a higher being of any sorts, the idea is that if higher beings can do that for you or anyone on any quote-unquote run-of-the-mill level. I don't like to say that because everyone really does have their own speciality.
Yes.
But if he could do that, then that means that everyone could treat everyone a lot better. Love each other as I have loved you. Is that not being more Christ-like?
Yes, and he's being very humble, and that goes back to the fact of priests shouldn't be this unattainable title that's only reserved for a few people. It should be attainable to everybody, because if Jesus can be humble and stoop down to wash the feet of his followers, then why is there that gap between priest and parishioner? Why can't everyone be on the same level?
Yeah, so I'm going to go and loop around back then, where we were talking just before about the rejection of the body to get to the spirit, per se. I'm starting to wonder if it's actually a bit of a conspiracy that the priests put out there.
Well, actually,
I'm wondering if it's something where they've actually already obtained and accepting the vessel that they so-called are keeping to themselves, and, you know, making it flourish, so on and so forth.
I suppose it would depend on the denomination, because there were certain monks that literally just starved themselves because they were rejecting the world, but then there were others that were very lavish.
Well, my theory is it has to do with history, where during the time of peasants, when peasants didn't have great lives, the reason so many peasants became religious is because they could look forward to a better existence in heaven, and they had nothing else to look forward to. Their life literally sucked, and like they couldn't do anything about it. So for them,
the and fact that some of them even used it as a way to kind of condemn people that had more, that had quote unquote more than.
Yeah, and so they would think about, you know, their religion and their beliefs, and say, well, you know, I don't need to have anything in this life. I don't have anything in this life. But if I'm good and I'm pious and I'm, you know, a devout practitioner, then I will have everything in heaven. So just the fact of, like, rejecting your body as a vessel, because how healthy was their vessel? How well could they take care of their body? There was so much sickness and disease and just downright dirty, gross everything that they had to forsake the earthly world to look forward to heaven, because the earthly world was failing them.
Very much so. And what it is you were just describing is one of the sources of the main criticisms that Friedrich Nietzsche had when discussing Christianity.
Yeah, well, and you know what's funny is because it's just part of history. It's almost like it had to happen that way because...
The pneumonic plague.
The bubonic plague.
Well, I'm saying the other one.
The pneumonic plague?
Yeah, the one...
Oh, the coughing, there are pneumonia.
There are three different three different stages. I know one of them, the bubonic plague. Yes, I can't speak tonight. Which is the welts that appear with...
Maybe you have the pneumonic plague then. But...
You got the welts that appear on the neck and so on and so forth. The black fingers. And you have the pneumonic plague, which I believe is the one that is within the not the respiratory system. Yeah, the respiratory system. Where it's like pneumonia-like. And it's just something that's worse, obviously, because you just physically cannot treat that. And then there's a third one, I think, with the circulatory system.
Oh, and that's rough.
And that's, I think, like stage three of that crap.
Oh, my Lord. Where
it's just like, well, not stage three, but like third degree, where it's like the worst of the worst.
Oh, God, it gets worse than the Black Plague.
Well, this is all remnants of the Black Plague. So these are just different levels as to how it gets spread.
Yeah,
you got the bubonic plague, which ends up being the forefront, but the pneumonic plague and this other one, so I think it starts with like an S or something, but these are the kinds of things. Beautiful. he made a noise.
Squeaky chair.
let's just chalk it up to that. But you know, with these, the latter of the three, the two latter are excruciatingly deadly, because you wouldn't know that you had it until literally like a day before you passed. So basically that would come and you'd be spreading it, you'd be in the city, oh, guess what, now you guys have it, you didn't know I had it.
Yeah, which is why the plague was so scary.
So literally wiping out 2/3 of their population. But yeah, I guess that does really loop around back to what you were saying, is that there, even when it comes to the different kinds of strains of this kind of plague, where that just really encapsulates, well, this life sucks, we're gonna die in a few days.
Yeah, we might as well just leave that behind and go for something else.
We all have a sense of quarantine going on, and we are literally sacrificing our city, says the king, to keep it from spreading to other people, other cities, and so on and so forth. Which, in retrospect, if a city's actually a king... is willing to sacrifice an entire city for the greater good of the entire freaking continent. Well, I do have to say, it's kind of noble.
I think it was more that they locked all the peasants out of the castle, and anyone that was in the castle, they quarantined, and they kept them away from the king and queen.
Oh, they did that, but even when it comes to those other two versions, where you got the guards and whatnot who were of that royal status, or at least, you know, guarding the royal status, there's just no getting around it. So they just accept it. It's like, nope, city's on lockdown. Peace out, world.
Oh, yeah, but no, the king and queen would never want to die. They used to light fires in like the throne room to keep the air clean, quote unquote, because they didn't know how it spread. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, everyone else, they were kind of like, well, we'll quarantine you if you get it, but like you're on your own. Mm-hmm. But like nobody come near the king and queen within like a couple of feet to just like keep them safe. But yeah, no, I mean, if you, that, yeah. If you think about it though, but yeah, no, for like peasants and stuff, they'd be like, yeah, like nobody come in or out, nobody trade, nobody mm-hmm. do anything because we have the plague, like don't move it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely obviously one of the more darker times of history that we have in record.
I would never want to have
It's certainly easier to be scared in a particular type of spirituality that can offer protection in a different sort of way, or at least some solace. There is something to be said, and for that reason, you know, it's like we understand. It's not just understanding everything from a psychological, from a spiritual level, but from a psychological level.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you also get like stories of like the undead and zombies, because like in like yellow fever, things that would spread, people wouldn't die all the way, and then they'd like come back, and then they'd really freak people out. So.
But yeah, that's just a brief little thing that could be, as you know, what you were saying, Courtney, mm-hmm. was the contribution to the history aspect for spirituality.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, they had so many other factors that we don't really consider as much now, and that's why our spirituality has changed, or maybe the lack thereof, and why we're moving away from it.
And it's a crazy, crazy thing to think about. Now, there's a decent amount of symbolism that... Do you have something else to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say that before we get into whatever our new topic is, we'll probably go on our little commercial break.
But we got a few
and
minutes.
And then we'll come back.
We've got a few minutes.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're going to move on to starting a new topic.
No, I just wanted to make sure that we stay, because if you recall, I wanted to... So I'm just realizing there's a bunch of topics that we can spin off with this. I'd love to have debates on all sorts of spiritualities. We can certainly talk the pros and cons of the Abrahamic religions one at a time. We can certainly talk about the pros and cons of certain pagan beliefs, where certain things intersect with other things, where certain mm-hmm. things contradict, why they contradict. Because your beliefs are only as strong as, your skin is to, you know, absorb and... analyze the criticisms of it. Mm-hmm. That's why the people who I trust the most in Christianity... I know, studied all the
thinkers,
well, and will have studied all the critics of it. The people mm-hmm. who I trust in Judaism, same reason. The people I trust in Islam, same thing. But not just the Abrahamic religions, but in the pagan religions too. Mm-hmm. Well, pagan spiritualities. I'd argue that some of them aren't even necessarily call religion. But you know, these words have become semantic.
Yes, and a lot of the symbolism for Easter has to do with Ostara. So if you listen to our Ostara episode, you'll get a lot of the background on, you know, eggs and bunnies and the symbolism that has to do with springtime and this time of year. So Easter kind of aligns with Ostara, and, you know, that's kind of your association for the Christian religion in a pagan sense, which either way is adorable, because at least this holiday is all about cute baby animals.
I don't know about all of you, but is it, like, it seems like this spring, this year... is quite rambunctious. Have you been feeling that at all lately?
What's
the old saying? Is it out like a lion in like a lamb, or is it vice versa?
Like a lion, out like a lamb. That's the aspect of March.
Okay. Well, yeah, it depends. So either March will be out like a lion, in like a lamb, which means like it goes out like a pretty rough winter, and then everything comes in like a warm, easy spring. Or it's in like a lion and out like a lamb, which is like in, like, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like starting out rough, getting good, or it's the opposite, which is starting out good and then getting rough. Mm. So yeah, the lion obviously being the harder, more intense part of the season.
Wonderful. I suppose this would be a good time to go on the break. Before we do, so I'm just going to state the focal points, because we did go on a couple of tangents, but they were all good, and because they're going to lead to other things we're going to talk about in future episodes. So the focal points here, outside of the foot washing ceremony and holding of the first mast, this was when the priesthood was instituted, when the announce of the betrayal of Judas, the new commandment that was given, the indication of Peter and his pastoral role among the other apostles, the unity of the followers, the discourses in all five chapters of John. They sang a hymn, They prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, went to the Mount, well, they went to the Mount of Olives, prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was approached to be arrested by the Romans. Peter, I believe, cut off the ear of the Roman prefect Malchus. Jesus stopped the violence, healed the ear, and then accepted his fate, and was taken to Pilate. So, man, crazy, crazy Thursday.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we will be right back after this short commercial break. Okay, so we're back, and we're going to continue on our discussion of Holy Thursday.
Yes, very much so. We had stated the certain extra focal points that we're going to jump into. So why don't we start... wait, I actually forgot. Bible verses that are specific for this time. Matthew... chapter 26, verses 17 to 75. Mark, chapter 14, verses 12 to in the 70s. John, chapter 13, pretty much the whole of chapter 13, I'd say, for the most part. And then there's Luke, most of chapter 22. It's after the first couple of verses. So if you want to read those, recite them, you can recite things in the Bible poetically to create, have some evocation before invocation, kind of set the mood if you're doing anything magic related with Jesus of Nazareth. They had had the Last Supper. They sang a particular hymn. Which I if the name is there, it's escaping me. To the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there, that is when he was having his last moment of doubt. Not the last temptation, because that's more so what was in the desert. But the last bits of doubt and the last bits of things that were holding him back from a human perspective. For those of you who've seen Jesus Christ Superstar,
there's a whole song about it.
Yes, no. I only want to say, if there is a way, take this cup away from me, for I don't want to taste this poison. Feel it burn me. I've changed. I'm not as sure as when we started. There was a lot going on. But then, you know, Jesus had his prayer and his conversation with Father Yahweh, and all was made right. And as soon as he was ready, that literally, poetically, like seconds later, the Romans showed up to arrest him. And the disciples went to defend him. Peter sliced off the ear of the Roman prefect, Malchus. And Jesus grew wroth and said to stop the violence. He was going to go with them willingly, but not before he put his hand over Malchus's ear and healed the ear completely. And the ear was sliced off, so he basically...
grew him an ear.
Yeah. Well, I think he took the ear and, just kind of made... He undid, like the undo button on a... in Microsoft Word. But you can only do it 3 undos, So if he sliced...
don't waste them.
If he sliced off his ear, his leg, then his arm... and then another body part, he would only get that body part, the arm and the leg, and he'd have to...
live without the ear.
Well, that
the last
sucks.
One you can't do.
He did it before it was cool, before Van Gogh did it.
Oh, my God. Well, Van Gogh did it to himself.
Well, that's actually, apparently, there's some discrepancies on that. Some people say he didn't actually cut off his own ear. That was just a rumor that was started. But, I don't really know. I don't...
that's possible. Anyone that knows, please tell me.
I'd have to do more research.
Now I can't help but think of the episode of Family Guy when Brian was doing acid and he just cut off his own ear. He goes, I want to prevent war.
World War II. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Very interesting. Very inaccurate representation of of mushrooms, at least by every experience I've ever seen with friends. I, myself, have never taken part, but
anyway.
Usually it's that stronger hallucinogenics or synthetic ones. Yes. Um,
And that was when Jesus was essentially taken prisoner. So there was a lot to be said that was going on at this particular time. And truth be told, I think the way that this podcast is going, it's better to just stay in the realm of Holy Thursday, and we can get back to Good Friday and
Easter. Well, that's going to be like way after Good Friday then, because it'll be next week. So
yeah, we'll try to put out something.
I mean, we could just do a Patreon episode on those then. You know what I mean? Just to get that out.
We'll figure it out. But I mean, well, it's okay. So for the most part, we can all keep it in the same sort of same vein, same understanding. As Courtney stated before, a lot of the symbolisms of Easter time can be equated to Ostara, because a lot of those things are lighted. So you can do a lot of magic that centers around new beginnings, creativity,
fertility,
rhetoric, understanding of certain things, poetry. There can also be magic in particular with the time of Pisces moving into Aries, you know, zodiac style magic. I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus of Nazareth was a Pisces. Some people say he was born sometime around spring, and the irony that it would be. I suppose divination would be the only thing that tells, unless we find some sort of document somewhere deep, deep within the earth or Vatican Library. It's you can also cast magic that centers around the infinite knowledge that surrounds the Trinity, higher connection to the Holy Spirit. You can do a lot of healing magic in regards to Jesus of Nazareth, his particular healing magic. He will teach all sorts of healers, all sorts of higher truth. As a Reiki practitioner and a spiritual healer of all many different backgrounds, I usually go to Jesus of Nazareth as at least one of the people that I go to, well, one of the entities rather that I go to try to get different and deeper understandings to heal. His healing abilities are definitely something to aspire to, and is even referenced in Reiki in certain textbooks and understandings of it. There is also a wide variety of magic that can surround things that are celestial, things that usually surround the seventh chakra. So the egregore that surrounds the color purple, the sun, you know, gold, silver, gold, frankincense, myrrh, you know, every symbolism that has led up to this particular moment. Truth be told, one could also argue is anything surrounded by death and resurrection can also be an idea if you want to get into something stronger. Though, if you're new to magic, I don't recommend necromancy.
No, not going to go with that one.
That's something for the experienced sorcerer or sorceress, if at all.
Yeah.
There are things that are centered around early seasonal gardening, if you want to get a little bit more quote-unquote practical. Blessing the food in a particular way. There is...
We kind of reenacted a little bit of a Last Supper there. I mean, not in like the
traditional sense,
traditional way, but in like just respecting the tradition. Oh yeah,
we certainly can't do unleavened bread. I can only do matzo ball and soup.
I just can't hear the phrase unleavened bread much more before I go insane.
Yes.
Listening to the Bible.
Well, guess what? Unleavened bread.
That's a drinking word of today. Unleavened bread.
Okay,
now you're drunk.
Congratulations.
What's kind of funny, like, speaking of fertility and everything like that, in between, what is truly remarkable is today, Andreelle, Courtney, and myself have actually made it a point to make it to our garden that we ended up really... taken care of from last year. Today we went out there, took a look at what's going on, what has to be done when Beltane makes its head, to find out that the deities definitely do listen by means of true empathy, true sorrow. For last year, our chamomile crops have been cut by 75% because of a ignorant landscaper. And now I am not even joking that almost the entire backyard is littered and overtaken by chamomile plants.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with those invasive plants. And, you know, I mean, just the fact that their seeds are obviously easily spreadable, but it mimics my own issue of having half of my backyard be scallions. So, very fruitful year already.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. What we did essentially is we just, I lit a pentacle for the Trinity, had the blessed statue that was gifted to them present. We decorated and adorned, you know, with the palm crosses. I just put my rosary on. We lit the candles, much like we would with invoking any other deity or any other entity. That's the thing. People think there are separate protocols. Like, there are universal protocols, there are specific ones, and, you know, but they all kind of intersect and allied in different ways. And if it works, it works. Trust me, you'll know when it does. And then I just, you know, asked to channel by the power of Jesus of Nazareth, because this was particularly with him in regards to the Trinity, to channel through and bless the bread and the wine. And I will say there was a unique type of blessing that I sensed in all of that. So there's definitely something to be said about, you know, recreation, the repetitive sides that create the egregore. Empower it over time. You know, that was the first of the Eucharist. But, you know, ceremonies like that existed in all ways, shapes, and forms. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
it helps you, like, get closer to the situation, to really connect with Jesus and all the energy that's present.
I do have to say it was quite beautiful as well that we ended up having the Bible verse being retold, which was actually the John verse that was talking of the foot washing. And having that be put onto the table, I mean, in retrospect, we don't put our feet on the table, but especially during meals. But no, it was nice to just read through a verse over something that is normally a little bit overlooked in day-to-day dogmas.
Very much so. There's magic in everything, friends. Let's see, is there anything else that surrounds Jesus? There's also, the animal, like, one animal in particular that you could certainly evoke is the spirit animal of the lamb, if you want to get into a more shamanistic standpoint.
And related to Jesus specifically.
Yes.
That's a symbolism, you know?
That's more related to Jesus as opposed to just the springtime.
With the chicks and bunnies and stuff. I mean, lambs are present in Easter, and also, I mean, I don't know. It's not Ostara in particular, but I would say lambs are another symbol of fertility, baby animals. They're white and pure, so.
It's also the idea of sacrifice. So if you want to do magic that involves a particular type of sacrifice in order to make something else happen, you know, one could argue it's a parlay.
Yeah.
But, you know, to take that wherever it is you feel you need to take it, friends. I could also argue that you can evoke the spirit animal of the dove, because that's usually what is represented. White doves are representative of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's like the Holy, it's like two things that are totally different in my, like, view is, like, the Holy Spirit is a dove, but doves are also a symbol of Venus.
Yeah, so, well, I mean,
you have to understand your context.
That. Look at that. We have more parallels coming about.
Yeah, though that one is a very out in left field parallel.
Yeah.
Well, those are related to Noah, too, so.
Yes. If you want, you can also try to, if you want to speak to the 12 apostles from their particular perspective, one could argue that you could invoke and invite them in, though their spirits are thousands of years old at this point. Like, they're at least, 2,000 years old. There's still something to be said about learning from them from a different sort of perspective, and helping them, you know, get closer. A lot of people work with the saints because, you know, they've done this particular work that certain people believe that they have a particular connection to God with a particular standpoint that surrounds them. So, and that's pretty much any idea of any sort of saint. Yeah, so really the possibilities are endless, friends. Mm-hmm. And
whatever works for you, you know, whatever setup you have, whatever you are able to do, is definitely the way that you should go. Because sometimes, again, we can go all out for stuff. We'll have our circle outside and a campfire and dinner and all this stuff. But sometimes we just have to keep it simple, do it at the table, and, you know, just go with it.
One final thing I think I could say, if you want to ask for anything in prayer or anything of the sort, if you want to do magic in particular, if you want to learn higher truth, higher magic, anything really in particular, you can ask the Trinity for it. Mm. I know that because I've done it. And it literally, when I ask certain things, they really do give you exactly what you ask for. They're really not shy about that. And truth be told, I don't really see them as the jealous gods, etc., as the Bible portrays Yahweh as. Not. Well, certainly not in like the Old Testament. It's very interesting. Maybe it was a timing thing, perhaps an understanding. But they've always been very forthcoming. Not only have they supported my connection to other deities and entities, but they've also showed me other ways to parallel it. Mm. So, for those of you who have a bad taste in your mouth about Abrahamic religions, Christianity in particular, I implore you to look at certain things from a certain perspective. Do not let certain people sour you on the truth that can lie within some of the text.
Yeah.
Because there are certain things that are probably lost in translation, and there are certain things that are lost in certain jargon and the seemingly endless verses that exist within some of them, because some of the things, you will read things in the Bible that seem superfluous.
Yeah, and there's always something to be learned, you know.
Unleavened
bread. Oh my God, regardless if it's like something you agree with or not, something
creeping things that creepeth upon
the earth. Oh God, the creepeth thing. Oh, that's also another word I'm not going to do. I'm so sorry. It's a drinking game thing. But yeah, I mean, so whether or not something is, I would say, appropriate, whether it can be carried into modern day, whether you agree with it or not, it can all be used as a learning experience. So even if it's something you don't agree with, something that is wrong in your belief, that you can learn from that, because you learned how other people thought, you learned how other people currently think, you learn different cultures, different backgrounds, how people arrive at their ideas and their spiritual beliefs. So whether you agree with something or not, I mean, that's that open-mindedness that's going to lead you to an educated mind, because you're going to learn all different ways of being, existing, and thinking, and it's just going to help you learn more about those around you. So it's always good to know the positive and negative of things, because it's a good learning experience. That was an enjoyable episode. We hope that you guys enjoyed learning about Holy Thursday. You know, we do like to hit on some Christian things, so hopefully we'll be getting to that a little bit more as well. And remember that you guys can follow us on Twitter at SpellcastPod. You can find us on Facebook, Spellcast Podcast page, and the private group. So if you want to be involved in the private group, get to talk to us more. We share personal stories that we don't always get to share on the podcast. Not that we don't want to, but it's just quicker to talk through the group. So we get to share some personal stories. A lot of the listeners get to share their experiences, which is nice. You get to know and be friends with the listeners, so you guys can connect that way. You know, it'll be fun to get to know your fellow listeners. You can also follow us on Instagram at witchypage. You can email us andrea@gmail.com or witchypage@gmail.com if you have any questions or you want to submit something for a listener episode, if you just want to chat. Again, we will always put different prompts up through episodes, because we've done that with our Patreon members. They'll inspire episodes for us. But if you want it to just be private, that's fine too.
Or if you need a spellcaster for hire, if you wish to meet us at the crossroads, come, let's see what we can do.
We do that, and also it's part of the perks for one of our tiers on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/spellcast, you can see all the wonderful perks that you get for supporting us through there. Spellcasting is one of them. We also have tarot readings, pendulum readings, handmade crafts from the Craft Crossroads, our shop. This has actually been a really busy week for us, and will be an even busier weekend because we have our first vending event of the spring season at Benner's Farm in East Etowket. So any Long Islanders you want to come out and see us, we'll be there from 10 to 5. We'd love to see you. Let us know you're a listener. This is how you heard about it. That'd be super cool to meet you guys in person. Otherwise, I'm going to try to do some videos so you can follow us on Instagram at the Craft Crossroads to see what's up if you want to just, you know what's going on that day and you can't make it.
Oh, I do have to say, keep your ears out open for anything from the Craft Crossroads by means of a wand giveaway. I'm feeling a little generous, so. And I'm not just talking about any old wand, I'm talking about something very special, where we would collaborate and have something completely custom to your fit.
That would be cool. We did do a wand giveaway in the beginning of our business, and maybe for our year anniversary, that would be a really cool thing. Also, yesterday, technically on Thursday, was a month, we're a month away from our year anniversary for Spellcast. So Spellcast was started on May 18th. I remember that because 18 is my favorite number. Also, the podcast is really important. So yeah, we're about a month away from our year anniversary, and we're going to be doing some special stuff for that. So definitely keep your eyes open and follow us on all of our different social media channels so you can be in tune with that. If you do join the Patreon page, along with the perks that you get through there, you also get membership to our special Coven Facebook group. You get membership to our special Snapchat group, and you get membership to our special chat on Instagram. So a lot of cool stuff. We're a really close family. We learn a lot from each other, and we're really lucky to have all of our listeners, and including our Patreon members.
One more thing, and I'll probably state it again. When we recycle the notifications after every episode. I stated, I believe, in the previous episode, I am in the process of getting my Reiki Master certification, and I am going to be starting a distant Reiki / spell healing grid. So if anyone needs any distant healing, submit some things that you would like healing, like healed, and I'll do what I can to send out some energy, at the very least passively, into the world of anyone who needs it. The main thing is that we're trying to be here to help.
Yes.
Trying to keep the balance in all ways. So.
And beyond Patreon, we also do pendulum and tarot readings. So you can book that through Witchy Page on Facebook if you want to have a tarot reading or other divination done by us. And that's available now as well. So you can always get your appointment there, because the Witchy Page Facebook page I have set up so it goes right into my calendar. So if you're interested in getting any divination done, definitely do that. We are more than happy to help and read tarot cards for you. I have animal totem cards, and Andriel has the Rider-Waite. Ignatius also does tarot readings, so if you want to get something done by him, or pendulum readings as well, you can specify who you'd want to work with, or we'll just kind of assign whoever's available at the time. But yeah, I think that's about enough for our business, and we had a good episode. Thanks again, Ignatius, for joining us.
Anytime. And remember, everyone, may your inner furnace burn ever brighter.
And remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And as always, the spirits live in the mirror.